Good evening, ladies. Hi, we're glad you're here. And we're so glad to have Dick Roberts as our speaker tonight. Dick is an elder of one of the elders for our church. He's also the International Operation Director for Global Outreach. He's on staff with our church. He and his wife, Julie, who they've been married 26 years. They have three sons. They are Right Start Mentors, which is in our church for the newly people who are going to get married. Okay. They're also marriage mentors with us. We have this ministry at church called Marriage Mentoring. And we're so pleased to have Dick and Julie with us on that. And he's also the team leader for Thailand in the missions. So with no further ado, just welcome Dick.
Well, it's kind of ironic that I'm here tonight because I'm going to share some things with you. I'm going to get a little bit vulnerable. I had said to Barb when she asked me if I would do this, I said, what, nobody else is available? That's why you asked me. And then I said, Barb, the name of this group is Wisdom for Wives. So how does that word wisdom fit with having me speak tonight? Because I've been married three times. But you got to give me a little bit grace because only two wives. I married my first wife twice. And so now I'm married with Julie and we've been married almost going on 26 years. And it's been a real good time. We're in a very good place right now. But like everybody, we struggle from year to year. And what we've learned over the years is that it's hard work. And as soon as you relax, I know how I am. As soon as I relax, I make a mistake. So you have to be on the alert all the time, especially with Julie. I'm kind of surprised at the crowd tonight. It's kind of a strange crowd because in today's day and age, you know, talking about wives, I thought we'd probably have a mixed crowd tonight. But it's a bad joke, isn't it? So my wife says, she says, you know, Dick, you think you're funny, but you're really not. So, well, let me open us with prayer. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, you are the risen one who shines upon us today and always. We worship you and adore you. You want our relationships with you to be vibrant and challenging. We invite you to invade more and more areas of our life. We will not fear change, for you are making us a new creation. When we cling to old ways and sameness, we resist your work within us, and you want us to embrace all that you are doing in our life, finding our security in you alone. It is so easy to make an idol of routine, finding security within the boundaries we build around our lives. Please prevent us from trying to force fit today into yesterday's mold. Instead, we ask you to open our eyes so that we find all you have prepared for us this precious day. We thank you for bringing us all here to help us to better understand how you designed the social order of this world based on your character and nature. We ask you to open our hearts, ears, and eyes to feel, hear, and see you in all that we do, that the plan you have for your kingdom will continue to be fruitful through the unity of husbands, wives, and families. We pray this in a comfort and peace that only the beautiful name of Jesus can bring. Amen. Ever since the beginning of time, little boys always wanted to be heroes. How many of you have sons that run around with capes and superheroes? Well, you know, as we get older, that never changes. We still want to be heroes. You know, we invest our lives in sports because we want to be the winning pitcher or the winning quarterback or and so that just doesn't change over time. This is a picture of my son, Derek, when he was about 6 or 7 years old, and this was getting ready for Halloween. And then when he was 8 or 9, the Force was with him, and he had his Force ring on him. And so as he grew, that never changed. And I look at myself and you know, how was I? You know, I always wanted to be a hero too, and I excelled in sports when I was younger, and I always wanted to be the winner, hated to lose. I'm very, very competitive, and it's because as men we want to win, and we feel that that's how God made us, and that is how he made us. If we look at our husbands, and if we look back as far back as the days of the Knights of the Round Table and the Victorian times, what you'll find is that husbands historically have been protectors, defenders, and providers. They provided for their families, their friends, when they owned land, and they had tenant farmers. They were responsible for a livelihood and the safety of those tenant farmers. So that's always been historically what men have been all about. And husbands, you know, you have to appreciate their desire to protect and provide, to serve and lead, to analyze and counsel, for shoulder-to-shoulder friendship. I remember several years ago with Julie, you know, I'd go ahead and I'd rent a movie and get a bottle of wine and get some popcorn, put the movie on, and I'm sitting down and I'm looking for Julie, and, well, she's all over the house doing stuff. And I finally said to her one day, I said, Julie, all I want you to do is sit down here next to me. That's all I want you to do. But no, she's ironing, she's reading a book, and she's talking on her cell phone while the movie's going on. And what really gets me is she understands what's going on in the movie. So, you know, we're just wired so differently. And that's why I wanted to show this slide here. So who do you think's the more complicated creature? And when I see this, I often wonder, how do two women get along in the same room? And I know, you know, my wife will have somebody over, and they'll be talking, and they're both talking at the same time. If she has four, they're all talking at the same time, and they understand everything, and they understand everybody. If I'm talking to my son, and Julie's talking to me, it's shh, I can't listen to both of you. So we're just wired so differently. If we look at what I was talking about men in general and how God wired us, how he made us, and, you know, we're achievers, and we like to work, and God made us to work. If you look at 1 Corinthians 29 through 33, if you read those verses, it basically says, in the last phrase of the last verse, so he can please her. And that's what men are all about. We're trying to please our wives. We would like to be the prince and the champion of our heart. And we do things hoping that we could get there. But because of this, it's a lifelong task to figure all that stuff out in the woman's box. When you look at this, you know, what we see is this is God's creation. This is how he made it. So, you know, we can't change it, but we can certainly make an effort to understand each other better. And that's where the hard work comes in. The other thing you need to know is that men need unconditional acceptance. If we feel that we're not your hero, if we feel that we're not satisfying you, we get deeply hurt. And we feel that we're not being respected for who we are and what we're trying to do. And that's a common theme that we see a lot. And a lot of you have probably read this book, Love and Respect, by Emerson Eggerich. And it's just the whole story of women need love and men need respect. I know in the business world, when I was in the corporate environment, I could care less if somebody liked me. but I wanted them to respect me. And that's the same thing with our children and the same thing with our wives, is we want them to respect us. If we get respect, we're more apt to love them the way they want to be loved. And that's what Scripture tells us, is husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands. Once that gets out of balance, you get in this crazy cycle that it's very hard to pull out of. So, how many of you have been to Battle for Women's Hearts? Anybody? Okay. There's also a battle for men's hearts. And I went there about 2 years ago. And it's a bunch of men get together and they pour out their hearts and souls. And they got trained leaders there to pull everything out of you. And they break you down into a small group. And I remember going through one of the small group sessions, and I remember saying to these men, I said, you know, I would hope that one day that I could be the champion of my wife's heart. And so I got finished with that weekend, drove home, and one of the things they told us is when you get home, don't discuss anything that we discussed here this past weekend, because it'll only make your wife angry and she'll probably throw you out of the house. And so I remember getting home and Julie said, so what was it all about? Not much. No. What did you guys do? I said, well, we had small group stuff, and they just, you know, tried to get all this mushy stuff going, and I said, you know, it's all about your heart. They wanted to find out what was in your heart. And out of the blue, what she said to me was, Dick, I hope you realize that you are the champion of my heart. So here I was a few days before that discussing with these men that I wish I was. And without any prompting at all, now Julie is telling me that. So you can imagine how fulfilled I felt that she would even say that to me. How many of you believe in the total equality of women? A few of you, okay? Barb, I got your name, okay? How many of you believe in man's authority over women and her need to submit blindly to him without question? Oh, I thought there'd be a lot of hands. No. Well, hopefully we'll get some of these things clarified regarding submitting and authority, and man is the head of the house and the head of the family. And, you know, as men, when we were growing up, nobody ever told us, you know, what a husband was supposed to do. And even worse, nobody told us what we were not supposed to do. You know, if we grew up in a family where our mother and father had a very good marriage, and the role that they played, we could see that and had that to hold on to, you know, that might have given us a better chance and make it easier for us when we got married. You know, the roles and responsibilities of husbands and wives have really gone askew in today's culture. Both men and women are confused and disillusioned what it was originally designed to be. Many men are confused. They're insecure about their leadership role in the family, not only as a husband, but as a father. And we don't have a lot of time, and I wanted to play part of the video that'll probably make a lot more sense than I'm making, but you know, we need to really look at the Bible and see what Scripture says about all this. When we correctly interpret the Bible and apply it, then the results will be freedom for both husbands and wives, And the bonus to all that is that we would be able to work even better as teams, you know, as a team in the family, instead of each us trying to do our own thing. God's design and structure for the family doesn't begin with the husband. Where do you think it begins? God's design for the structure of the family. Any guesses? God. There's a good one. That's it. It is about Christ. It's about, you know, marriage isn't about you and your husband. It's about the wife and Christ, and it's about the husband and Christ. If those two relationships are good, you have a real good chance that the marriage will be a good marriage. So it starts with each one of our own relationships with Christ. One of the things that Julie and I do when we have discussions and we talk to each other is that we always vision that Christ, when I'm looking at her, is standing right behind her, looking over her shoulder. So I am talking to Christ and using words that I should use with him while I'm talking to Julie. Okay, and that has helped us tremendously. Because what I've noticed is that when I was in the business world, how much time and care I took for every single word I would communicate to somebody. And as soon as I got home, the guard was down, and I would say the most stupid things that would just create disillusion, and it would tear us apart instead of bringing us together. So one day, talking about relationship with Christ first, Julie and I were living in Phoenix, and it was a Sunday afternoon. We had gotten out of church, and we had breakfast, and I'll say this, but I really don't want to say it. Julie was cleaning up, and I was sitting on the couch reading the paper. But the rule in our house was that whoever cooks doesn't do the dishes. The other one does the dishes. So Julie was doing the dishes. I was reading the paper, and finally she turned to me, and she said, "Dick." And I said, what? And she said, "I finally realized today that I love Jesus more than I love you." How did you think I responded to that? What I basically said was, right away, as soon as she said that, I said, "Bingo." And she says, "What do you mean, bingo?" I said, "Because I know that I could never satisfy you. I could never make you happy. Only Christ can do that." So what did that do for me? That gave me relief. It gave me freedom. The pressure was off. Now, it doesn't mean that then I could just go do what I want to do and say what I want to do, but the pressure was off that I didn't have to spend my time trying to find ways to satisfy her, because it just seemed every time you tried to do that, you failed. And because we're men, then our self-respect would plummet. So the biblical view is that our roles are different as men and women, and the husband and wife are interdependent, not independent. That they need each other. God made men to need women, and God made women to need men. And if you would read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11, it says, "In the Lord, neither is woman independent of man, nor is man independent of woman." And so when you read Scripture and you read this word submit, what do you think of that word as a woman? "You must submit to your husband." How do you feel when somebody says that? It's a pretty negative term in our society, isn't it? And part of the clip I'm going to show you will talk a little bit about that. I'm going to show you a clip from the Truth Project, which was created and presented by Dr. Del Taggett. And what I'm going to show you is a clip that talks about the design of the social order by God and how the design of the social order was based on his character and the nature of God. The reason I like that is for me to understand things, I need to see the big picture first before I can really drill down and so that it's applicable to me. When you look at the design of the Trinity and then the design of the family based on the same principles, what we don't have time to see is the next thing he takes the church and the same principles for the Trinity, for the family, and the church are the same. And then he goes into the state, the way God designed the state, the government, the same principles. He shows that. And then when you get into labor and work, he shows that. So when you look at that, there's no question, not only do we have a designer, but there's a purpose for everything that he's done. So when he created marriage, there was a purpose for that. But in all of those different social orders that he talked about, there was always the mention of unity. And I want to read to you from John 17. This is something that when we go around globally and we talk to international pastors about life on life missional discipleship, we use this as a devotional quite a few times. And if my wife was here, I would use this and I would use her name. But what I'd like you to do is, matter of fact, can I have somebody's permission, like Judy Chu? Could I use your name in this? I'm always nice to you, so. Okay, so here we go. Now, this is Jesus in the garden, and he had spent quite a considerable amount of time praying for his disciples. And then he finally came in and he says to God, he says, I do not ask for these only, but also for Judy, who will believe in me through their word, that Judy may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that Judy also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to Judy, that she may be one, even as we are one, I in her and you in me, that Judy may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love Judy even as you love me. Father, I desire that Judy also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and Judy knows that you have sent me. I have made known to Judy your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in Judy, and I in Judy. This is John 17, verses 20 through 26. So I think of Julie this way. And when I do, she gets elevated to a very, very high level. And if you think about God's creation and the way he designed us, families, the whole social order, I can't think of anything more beautiful when we get it right. And we get it right by applying the correct interpretation of Scripture to our lives and to our relationships, especially to our husband and wife and to our children. So with that, I just want to open it up for questions, and any question is game. I think that like when we present overseas and stuff, the more we get people talking, make it interactive, the more they get out of it. And then the more we learn also. So any questions you have, any clarification of things that were said, or anything else that you would like to know? And Barb has a mic, and she'll come around and hand you the mic. Don't be shy.
I was just wondering, is this talk for the foundation? I'm confused.
Okay.
Is this for the choosing to accept, or are you was this a prelude to choosing to understand your husband?
Yeah. What I've been doing is, we're talking about the role of a husband, to properly have that fit in the whole design of God's creation. I needed to pull in how he designed the social order, and then pulled in some scripture that really commands man how to treat his wife and what that role is. So that role is a leadership role. And so, what is a leader? Some notes I took out of scripture is to lead, love, and serve. God gives men different personalities, so leadership styles will differ, so that your husband will be different, obviously, from somebody else's husband. The important thing is that every man, regardless of his ability or the personality of their wife, must take the responsibility to lead, to ask God for strength and wisdom to do well and to act obediently as the godly servant leader in the home. A good leader is a good lover. Love your wife unconditionally. The husband's job is to become a student of his wife, to learn her strengths, her weaknesses, her gifts, her fears. One of the things about Julie that you wouldn't know, if Julie walked into this room right now, she has a regal presence when she enters a room. And she'll always tell the story that when she goes into a room with people that she doesn't know, how uncomfortable she is. And people don't come up to me. Well, she looks so darn confident of herself, a lot of people are afraid to approach her. But I know Julie, and I know how fragile she is. And so it's really a pose that she puts on. And so I know that it's a fear of hers to be in a room where she doesn't know anybody. So if we're going to go to a party and I know everybody and she doesn't, gee, Dick, I really don't want to go. You know, and she'll say, well, you, Dick, you're so different. You can walk in any room and, you know, you're right at home. You can walk up to anybody and start a conversation. And so I said, well, then look at that beautiful design. You know, I have that and you have what you have. Together, it makes us whole. It makes us one. So when we talk about the role of husband and leadership and being the head of the household, I think one of the important things that is that being the head doesn't mean the man lords it over the woman and demands her total obedience to his every wish and command. God has never regarded woman as a second-class citizen. His word clearly states in Ephesians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So according to the New Testament, women are to be respected, revered, and treated as equal with men.
You know, Dick, what would you say to a woman or someone here today whose maybe husband isn't all that you said he is? You know, like he's not that leader yet. He doesn't have some of the qualities right now that you have said. What would your advice be to her? How could she help her husband? You know, because she might be disappointed. Well, he isn't what he's supposed to be.
Is this what you're talking about? Wife is in the kitchen. She looks into the family room, and there's the old man sitting in his T-shirt drinking a beer. You know, what? When you see that picture, what do you think the wife is thinking? Judy, I don't know what that has to do with your question, so ask it again. But I haven't used that slide yet. I thought I'd use it.
Okay. You got your ears on now?
Pardon?
You got your ears on now?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. What I'm asking, Dick, is you know, you read off the biblical role for a husband, yeah. leader, love his wife, protect, you know, be the hero for her. Well, what if you're not married to that man who's there yet? I mean, he's in the process of becoming. So it's easy to maybe be disappointed, to say, hey, you know, you read that, and I know that's what my husband's supposed to be, but he isn't. He's so far from it. What's your advice to someone who's married? How could she encourage her husband to be that leader, to be when he's not there yet, and he's maybe he doesn't have a clue that he's supposed to be there? Is that a good question, girls?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that, you know, for me, it's a couple of things. Number one, encouragement is going to come from what? The wife showing what to her husband? Respect, even though he may not deserve it. Just as the husband should continue to love his wife unconditionally, even though she may not deserve it because of some behavior. See, that's the key, is that you can't base your response based on your spouse's response. Your response is to Christ, and your responsibility and accountability is to Christ. And if you can do that, that I think is the biggest encouragement that you could give your husband.
You had mentioned a scripture at the beginning, and I didn't get the chapter. You had said 1 Corinthians something 29-33, and I had missed the chapter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was chapter 7, 29-33. And by the way, the clip I played for you, I cut it in half. There's still a second half to that that even goes into more detail that we just didn't have time tonight with. But I have that available that I'd loan to anybody who really wants to see that, because he really even pulls it together even more. So.
Okay, so we talk about showing respect to our husbands, and since it's not natural for us, the Bible has to tell us to do that. Maybe you could just give a couple of examples. They don't have to be specific, but in general, like, when do you feel respected by your wife? You know, what does she do? Because I actually emailed my father, my husband's father, his grandfather, asking those questions, because our culture doesn't really display that very well, to me,
yeah.
at least.
You know, in Julie's and my relationship, Julie grew up in a family where her father was an alcoholic, and he was a womanizer, and the mother finally divorced her father and stuff. But she was brought up with four sisters, okay? And every one of them had an impact on them. Julie will tell you that she was brought up to disrespect men. So it was, take care of yourself, girls. Make sure you know how to make a living. Don't depend on a man for anything. So Julie carried that into our relationship. And, you know, it's what I knew that Julie changed was about 2.5 years ago, before I took the job at the church with Global Outreach, I had lost my job. And I was a COO of a consulting engineering firm. And the economy and my salary, the decision was made by the board of directors to cut me out. So I got home and I told Julie, I said, hey, Julie, I lost my job today. And she said, and there you go, joking again. You know, you're not funny. And I says, no, I really lost my job. So we started to discuss right away. She's businesslike. She says, okay, well, we're going to start cutting out of our budget. We can't spend money. You got to sell your car, Dick, and we're going to do this. You know, maybe we need to put a house on the market right away and all this kind of stuff. And so we're just going through that. She finally turned to me and she said, you know what, Dick? For the last 23 years, you have supported us very, very well. I just want to thank you for that. That's what I needed to hear. So that's an example of showing respect, recognizing the contribution to the family.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Richard. Dick Roberts, thank you, ladies, for coming. And we hope to see you all next week.